The MGM Theater of the Air. Our stars this week, Hume Cronin and Marcia Hunt. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and distinguished writer of many of your favorite hits of Broadway and Hollywood, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Our radio stage this week has a martial air, a faint echo of the military, but a pleasant echo as the play is on the lighter side. The motion picture is well remembered, and the radio adaptation will, we hope, entertain you with the story of a boy and a girl in a pre-atomic world, when the phrase of the day was, "Don't you know there's a war on?"
But you must admit, I mean, it was certainly an unusual way to go about meeting a man.
With 10 million men in uniform and out of circulation, unusual ways are the only ways that work. After all, war or no war, a girl's got to think of the future.
The man in uniform in our play is Hume Cronin. The young lady thinking of the future, Marcia Hunt. Both of them played in the motion picture, you'll remember. The title of this MGM Theater of the Air presentation, A Letter to Evie. Letter that has its inception in the front office of a shirt manufacturing company in Brooklyn. Plant manager DeWitt Pynchon sits behind his desk. Private secretary Evie O'Connor stands nearby. A factory employee faces them, definitely on the carpet.
Now then, Miss...
She's Miss Jenkins, Mr. Pynchon.
Mabel Jenkins.
We have a business here. A shirt manufacturing business, and there's a war on, Miss Jenkins.
Oh, don't I know it.
Hush.
We have a contract with the United States Army that specifies 600,000 shirts, sizes 13 to 18, sleeve lengths 28 to 37. However, Miss...
Jenkins, Mr. Pynchon.
Mabel Jenkins.
However, there is no mention in our contract of personal letters inserted by our employees into the shirt pockets intended for the presumed recipients of said shirts.
What did he say, Miss O'Connor?
Just listen and take it.
I have here a letter written by you and put into the pocket of one of our shirts. Read it, please.
Have I got it?
Please.
Dear big soldier, I know you must be big to be able to wear a size 16 and a half shirt pre-shrunk. I have always liked big men, especially when they're brave and serving their country. I'll be waiting for your answer, big soldier, at 7:20.
That will do. Well, Miss Jenkins?
Does sound a little corny, don't it?
Can you imagine Miss O'Connor here writing such a letter?
Mr. Pynchon, please.
To tell the truth, no.
Yeah, I'm due in J.B.'s office. Miss O'Connor, will you try to make clear to this girl what I've been trying to get across?
Look, I've been Mr. Pynchon's private secretary for 4 years. He's only thinking of your own good.
It's for my own good to get me a man.
Miss Jenkins,
10 million of them are out of circulation, and I'm making post-war plans.
But Mr. Pynchon says...
Oh, Pynchy. He's my idea of a tired turtle.
Indeed. That will be all, Miss Jenkins.
Hey, wait a minute. You're not... You and Pynchy aren't...
I'm sure I don't know what you mean. Mr. Pynchon is my employer, and I respect him as such.
Oh. Oh, no, men aren't that scarce. Pynchy. Can you imagine romancing with that?
Miss Jenkins...
I'll bet it'd be like kissing a nice, fresh halibut. Tell your boss next time I'll try not to get caught.
Writing a letter and putting it in a shirt pocket. Of all the ridiculous, childish, romantic. What did she say?
Dear big soldier, I know you must be big to be able to wear a size 16 and a half shirt pre-shrunk.
The idea.
I'll be waiting for your answer.
J.B. wants this Army directive dated 10:25 a.m. instead of 10:15 a.m., Evie. Now, where's that telegram?
Dear Wiss.
Yes, Evie?
Kiss me.
Do what?
Please.
Here? Now?
Well, you wanted to last night.
Oh, Evie. Darling, Evie, you will marry me, won't you? Won't you? I've waited so long, so patiently, so... Why are you looking at me like that?
I was thinking of... halibut.
Thinking of... what?
Pinchon!
Yes, dear. I mean, yes, J.B.
Where's that telegram?
Coming.
You better wipe off that lipstick to it.
Oh, my. Yes, yeah. Send that shirt model back to the styling department, will you?
Halibut.
Dear big soldier, I know you must be big.
Well, why not? What's there to lose? Make up your mind, Edie O'Connor. Either it's settled for DeWitt, or...
Dear soldier, did you see the movie Wuthering Heights? Sometimes I feel just like Kathy, the heroine. I lead a very conventional life, but sometimes I'd like to do all the wild, impulsive things Kathy did.
Got your requisition?
Right here.
One shirt, 14 and a half. Next. Got your requisition?
Nothing else.
One shirt, 16 and a half. Next. Got your requisition?
Hey, soldier, wait up.
You calling me?
Yeah, we're bunkmates, I think, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, I recognize you in line. Didn't get a chance to talk to you this morning. I'm Edgar Larson, Milwaukee. My pals call me Wolf.
I'm Johnny McPherson, Buffington, Connecticut.
What's your line, Johnny? Before the war, I mean.
I'm a dendrologist. What's yours?
Best cigar salesman in Wisconsin till the Army got me. What's a dendrologist?
Tree surgeon. My father's in the lumber business. Lumber, wood, trees.
That's very interesting, really. Hey, I got a pass for the afternoon. You too?
Sure.
Well, let's do the town together. Pick up a couple of tomatoes.
Tomatoes?
Yeah, you know. Lollipops, mice, pigeons.
Oh, girls.
You got it, pal. Hey, give us a cigarette, will you?
Sure.
I got matches here somewhere. Hey, hold the shirt for me, will you?
Hey, something fell out of your pocket.
What do you know? Looks like a letter. Here's a letter. Must have come with a shirt. From some dame. It just won't let me alone. Oh, get a load of this. Dear soldier, did you see the movie Wuthering Heights?
I did. That was my favorite movie.
Sometimes I feel just like Kathy the heroine. I lead a very conventional life. Uh-oh, that's all right.
Wait a minute. You're not going to throw it away.
Here and now, pal. I've got more mail than I can answer.
But she sounds like a nice girl.
Nice and lonesome. Kind's dangerous. They got in mind marriage, period. Besides, I didn't like Wuthering Heights. It's too deep. Well, come on, let's go. Hmm?
What?
Well, we're going to do the town.
Well, what about another time, Wolf? I've got to go down to the library this afternoon.
The library? You got a pass for the rest of the day and you're going to the library?
They're holding a book for me.
Okay, ruin your eyes. See you later, kid.
See you later. Not his letter. Anybody might have got it.
Dear soldier.
Anybody who wears a size 16 and a half shirt.
Sometimes I'd like to do all the wild, impulsive things that Kathy did. Like writing this letter, for instance. I've made up the kind of person you are, soldier. Tall and strong. You must be to wear this shirt. I can see you striding through the night. Against the wind and the rain.
Excuse me. Perhaps you can't picture your hero catching a cold, Miss... Yes.
I know you're big spiritually, too, soldier. A man who has time and capacity to see the beauty in life. How do I know that? Well, because I'm romantic enough to believe in fate. In kismet.
Kismet?
If you do, too, please write to Eve O'Connor.
Well, why not? Kismet.
It's none of my business, Evie, but as your roommate, I've got a right to say it. I think you're being awful dumb.
Barney, please.
And as your best friend, I've got a duty to say it. You could do worse than DeWitt Pynchon. He's crazy about you.
I know.
Well, what are you waiting for? Why don't you marry him?
Well, he kissed me the other day, and, oh, I don't know, nothing happened. I didn't hear music.
Music? You want your love scenes with backgrounds by Toscanini?
Well, you know what I mean. And besides, there's something else.
Something or someone?
Well, I've started corresponding with a soldier.
An army soldier? Mm-hmm. You, Evie?
I put a letter in the pocket of one of the company's shirts.
You, Evie?
Oh, Barney, please stop saying you, Evie. It makes me sound like... Well, anyhow, listen to the answer. It came today. Dear Eve O'Connor. Oh, his name's Johnny McPherson. He's in Texas. Here, read it yourself.
I certainly will.
Dear Eve O'Connor, the shirt...
It was a size 16 and a half, Barney. Do tell.
The shirt fits fine. Just a little tight across the chest. But to receive so beautiful a letter, I'd even squeeze into a size 16.
Do tell.
Your letter took me back to my lumberjacking days in the great Northwest. The Indians used to call me...
What's this?
Umpum Warish Taspum.
Let me see. Oh, Umpum Warish Taspum. He tells what it means in the next line.
The large one who walks alone. All my life I've been driven forward in search of something. I feel from your letter you're searching, too.
Aren't we all, brother?
What?
Oh, nothing, dear. Just reacting.
Perhaps in our letters we can search together. I have a sad feeling that kismet will never arrange for us to meet. But maybe it's better so. Please write soon again to Johnny McPherson.
Well, what do you think?
He sounds dreamy. I'm sending in my picture, Barney. I'm not stunned with amazement. Easy. Are you going to tell Pinchy about this?
Why should I? There's nothing wrong with writing to a boy in the service, especially one as far away as Texas.
Well, there's nothing wrong at all if he stays in Texas.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, Evie, kismet. You never can tell. You just never can tell.
Courtney! Larson, Johnson, Michovsky,
yeah.
Larson. Hey, Wolf, don't those dames of yours know there's a paper shortage?
Don't blame them, Sergeant. They're in love. Give me the thing.
Hamilton, Maloney, Larson, Bressler, McPherson.
McPherson, here. Oh, thanks, Sarge.
You're welcome.
Jennings, Peters, Jones.
Hey, Johnny, get a load of this. I want to tell you how grateful I am to you, Wolf Larson. No girl's education is complete until she's known at least one cad. I've met you. My education is finished.
Johnny, you're not listening.
Hmm? Hey, your boy's got mail from a dame.
Well, I...
And a picture in it, too. Come on, give us a look.
Well, it's of my great-aunt, Wolf.
An old lady?
On my father's side. She just celebrated her 75th birthday.
That's swell. Give her my love.
Wolf.
Yeah?
Would you do me a small favor?
Depends, Johnny boy. What is it?
Well, I've written to my family about you. How we're bunkmates and pals, sort of. And they want to know what you look like, naturally.
Well, I take a swell picture.
That's the favor. Could I take your picture to send to my family? I could borrow the sergeant's camera.
Oh, kid, you won't have to. I got millions of pictures of the old wolf.
You have?
Sure, yeah. Whenever one of my dolls gets a little temperamental, I send her a picture. Makes her happy again. And a happy dame is always a quiet thing. You're going to have your choice, John.
Well, I'll appreciate it, Wolf.
Oh, it's nothing at all. An assortment of poses. In boxing trunks, football gear, lifeguard. A couple in lumberjack's outfits.
Lumberjack? That'd be perfect. Were you in the North Woods, Wolf?
No, I had the picture taken in Mitchell Park, Milwaukee. Well, come on, I'll get it for you now, and you can put it in the mail tonight.
I want to thank you for your picture, Eve. It's as lovely as I know you are. I'm enclosing one of me, taken when I was working in the Great North Woods. You know, as I'm writing this, the Recreation Hall radio is playing my favorite piece, All the Things You Are. It's my favorite because it reminds me of you, Evie.
It's funny it should be your favorite because it's always been my favorite piece, too, Johnny. Thank you for your picture. It's wonderful. Just how I dreamed you'd look. And it's tucked away safely beside your wonderful letters. No. On second thought, I think I'll get it out and keep it on my bureau, where I can see you every morning and night.
I can't get over how many things you like that I like, Evie. Books, movies, places to go. It's really remarkable, you know. Makes us pretty special people for each other. Don't you think so?
I know my surprise will fit, Johnny dear, because I knitted it just the same size as your shirt, 16 and a half.
A wonderful surprise, Eve, darling. And exactly the right size. Now, I have a surprise for you. My unit's being transferred, and you'll never guess where.
You inherited $1 million, or you inherited $1 million.
Better. Much better.
Take him down to Earth and tell Mama, child.
He's coming.
Oh, how nice. Of course, he might be anyone. You don't mean...
Yes.
Wouldn't you know? Oh, the world's too small sometimes. When, Evie?
His letter just said he was coming to New York. It didn't say when. But it sounded sort of hurried, like he might have mailed it practically on his way.
Stand still, please.
And anyhow, I feel things about Johnny.
You never even met the man or talked to him or said howdy do.
Barney, some people have an affinity for each other. And here Johnny and I are concerned for...
Oh! He's here. It might be the landlady.
It's Johnny, I know it. Let him in.
No, no, I won't. Well, tell him there wasn't time to trot out a brass band.
Johnny, I...
Oh, yes?
I'm Edgar. Mm-hmm. Edgar Larson. Friend of Johnny's.
Oh, I see. I expected... Well, won't you come in?
Thank you.
This is my roommate, Miss Lee. This is a friend of Johnny's, Edgar...
Larson.
Just call me Barney.
Thank you. Just call me Edgar.
Jedgar?
Just Edgar.
Did Johnny come to Brooklyn with you?
Well, he came, but at the last moment he got a special assignment. A secret mission.
Overseas?
On a bomber. A big bomber.
Oh, no.
He asked me to come in his place. There wasn't time to telephone. He did write, but I could bring the letter faster than... So, here it is.
Oh, will you excuse me while I read it?
No, go right ahead.
They've been corresponding for quite a while.
I know.
Well, quite a bit about you in this one, Edgar.
Well, I...
He certainly thinks a lot of you.
Well, I think a lot of Johnny, too.
Let me read you this part.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, don't be so modest. Go ahead, Evie. Well, he calls you his best friend. Let's see now. Oh, here. I know he's not much to look at. Oh, why, I don't agree with that at all.
Well, big nose.
But inside, he's true gold. He understands about us. I hope you'll make his furlough as pleasant for him as possible. Isn't that like Johnny, though?
Isn't it?
Always thinking about others. Didn't I tell you, Barney?
You told me.
Well, since Johnny isn't here, Private Larson, will you give me the honor of your company this evening?
Johnny told me you were wonderful.
You two will have a wonderful time, I can see that.
We will, won't we, Edgar? I'll listen... And you'll tell me everything you know about Johnny McPherson.
You know, I like dancing with you, Edgar.
I'm glad, Edith.
Is Johnny a good dancer?
Well, we dance a lot alike.
I can't imagine it somehow.
What?
Johnny on a dance floor. Funny, I always think of Johnny, well, striding along with the wind blowing his hair, or standing on a mountain crag silhouetted against a full moon.
Sounds like a book jacket.
What?
Well, I mean, Johnny does do ordinary things, sometimes.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
You want some more coffee?
Oh, no, thank you. You probably think I'm silly.
Oh, no. Believe me, I don't even. Oh,
I'm just romantic, really.
I wouldn't want you any other way. Too few people nowadays take the time to be romantic and sentimental.
Well, that's funny.
But it's serious. A very serious lack in our modern society.
No, I mean, Johnny said exactly the same thing in one of his letters.
Well, I probably picked it up from him. Holy smoke.
What's the matter?
Look at the time. I've got to get back to the camp.
Oh, I didn't realize it was so late. Well, this evening has flown.
Your roommate was right, as far as I'm concerned.
About what, Edgar?
Having a wonderful time. I have tonight, Evie. I guess I'll never forget tonight. Ever.
Hey, Johnny. You asleep?
I can see you're not, pal. Lying there dreaming with your eyes open.
What do you want, Wolf?
I was looking for some toothpaste this afternoon in your stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I found the toothpaste, thanks.
Okay.
Also, I found something else, pal, a letter.
What?
Take it easy. You'll wake the guys. I didn't read it, but I saw the envelope. Return address, Eve O'Connor. Care of that shirt?
Why, you big...
Take it easy.
Quiet down, will you?
I recall that address, pal. On a letter that was in my shirt.
On a letter that you threw away.
But then I got to thinking. My picture you wanted? For your folks? And your great aunt's picture, age 75? You little Romeo. I didn't think you were up to it, pal, honest. What's she like?
Not one of your tomatoes or lollipops or mice.
Stringy hair and glasses.
Yeah, that's right. Stringy hair and glasses and a whiny voice, too, Wolf.
Well.
Wolf, was there a picture with that letter?
It was, pal.
Wolf, listen.
I'm asleep, pal.
If you say anything to anybody about this...
I said I'm asleep. Shh, sound asleep. And dreaming most pleasant dreams.
We'll be back with Act Two of The Letter to Evie, starring Marcia Hunt and Hume Cronin, in just a minute. Now, Act Two of A Letter to Evie, starring Marcia Hunt and Hume Cronin. When Evie sent her picture, Johnny sent a posed portrait of his massive, Adonis-like buddy, Edgar Wolf Lawson, to sustain Evie's illusions about his diminutive self. When his unit is transferred to Evie's hometown of Brooklyn, Johnny calls on Evie, masquerading as Wolf. A confusing deception and fraught with inflammable situations. The fuse is lighted at the moment when Johnny, unaware he is followed by Wolf, calls on Evie for the second time.
Edgar, what, how sweet. Hyacinth.
You wrote they were favorites. Johnny told me.
Oh, it was very thoughtful of you to remember, wasn't it, Barney?
I think Edgar's a love.
I looked up the movie page in the paper, Evie. There's a revival of Wuthering Heights playing, and... Johnny said you liked the picture a lot, so...
Oh, we'd love to go, wouldn't we, Barney?
Well, Edgar, you'd probably rather be alone.
Why, that's ridiculous.
Oh, sure.
We'd enjoy having you along.
Sure.
Well, I haven't been to a movie this week, so if you're sure you don't mind... Now, who can that be?
Maybe you've got a date you forgot about.
Oh, don't be silly, Edgar.
I'll get it.
Get my coat while you're there. It's in the hall closet.
All right. Yes, who did you... Oh!
What's wrong, Evie?
Johnny!
Evie!
It's you. Oh, Johnny, you came at last.
Evie, more beautiful than I dared to dream you'd be.
What's going on here? You!
Hiya, pal.
What are you doing here?
He's coming in right now. Oh, give me a hat, Johnny.
Thanks, Evie. Well, old pal.
Just call me Edgar. Edgar Larson.
Call you who? What? Oh, sure. Eddie, old pal. You asked me... What did you ask me again?
Oh, now we're a foursome. How cozy.
Johnny, dear, this is my friend, Barney Lee. I've written you about it.
Hiya.
Hi. Johnny. You're not AWOL.
Who, me?
From the secret mission. Oh, it's all right. Edgar told us about it.
Edgar?
You remember? Johnny? The secret mission?
The secret, sure. Yeah, well, it was postponed. Well, the mission was postponed, so I came right over here to see Evie.
Oh, I'm so glad, Johnny.
Thanks for taking care of things, Eddie, old pal.
Glad to do it, buddy.
Well... You and me, we've got a lot to talk about, Evie.
Yes, Johnny, haven't we?
Come on, Edgar.
What?
Can't you see they're dying to be alone?
But I...
Well, go up on the roof. All right, Edgar? There's stars and a moon.
Take it easy. Wolf.
Wolf?
That's his nickname, a cap.
Edgar's called Wolf. Well, it's incredible.
Isn't it, though?
Well, we've fixed up a sort of penthouse on the roof. It's so warm, I wouldn't even need a jacket. Come on, Wolf. See what I mean? Stars and a moon.
Huh?
Edgar, if you're thinking about Evie, she's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Well, but she and Johnny have only written to each other. They don't really know each other.
They're getting acquainted right now.
I think I'll go down and... What's that thing?
Oh, that darn bottle of rubbing alcohol. We had it up here this afternoon. I had a Charlie horse.
Rubbing alcohol?
Evie fixed it up for me. I could hardly walk for a while.
Rubbing alcohol. Barney, I'd like your advice.
About what, Edgar?
Suppose someone you thought a lot of.
Someone you were in love with, you mean?
Suppose she, or he, was in a spot. Didn't know it. And you did. You'd try to help, wouldn't you? Get her or him out of it, if you could?
Well, naturally.
Even if you have to pull off some sort of stunt?
Oh, I'd do anything to help the man I loved, Edgar.
And you'd use whatever happened to be handy to do it.
How do you mean?
Never mind. I got an idea. Barney, I think you're one of the most entertaining girls I've ever spent an evening on a roof with.
Why, Will?
As a matter of fact, why don't you and I go to that movie and... Leave those two alone together.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Come on. Oh, wait.
What's the matter?
It's an hour till the second show.
Well, we can spend the hour up here.
Well, except that I'm cold. Do you remember my complaining about
it? Well, let's go inside and be comfortable.
Well, you see, Barney, I hate to barge in on them. Sit around knowing they wish we'd clear out.
Well, it's only an hour, for heaven's sake.
An hour can seem an awfully long time under certain conditions.
Well, you know what? I'll bet they've gone out themselves already.
Could you look to see? I mean, isn't that a skylight or something over there?
Yes, there sure is. Right over here. I'll peek and make sure.
Don't do this. I hope I can make them believe me. What do you see?
Oh, they're still there.
Good. I mean, they are?
That Johnny's some talker, isn't he?
Yeah.
He talks as well as he writes, Evie. He will be in seventh heaven. Maybe if we go down, we'll scare them out.
That's an idea. Come on. Oh, don't forget your bottle of rubbing alcohol. Here.
Thanks. You know, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
This bottle's empty.
That's right.
Well, it was practically full a minute ago.
I drank it.
How could it be full 1 minute and then... You drank it?
It's my big weakness, Barney. I can't resist it.
Oh, but Edgar, rubbing alcohol, it'll kill you.
I was cold, and I had to get warm.
Oh, dear. Edgar. You...
Little chicken, Barney. You know, you're luscious.
You're adorable. You're ravishing.
That stuff can make you awful sick.
I've been drinking it for years. For years.
Oh.
And you see, I'm not cold anymore. It's wonderful up here in the roof garden. Moonlight and a lovely girl.
I've got to get a drink of water.
Barney, little chicken Barney. You know, you're my type of girl. You're feminine. You're strictly feminine.
Edgar, I have a headache.
You're feminine. You're feminine, and I'm masculine. Male and female, that's where we are. Barney, little chicken, where are you going?
Go inside, I'm going inside.
Wait for the old wolf. Wait for me.
What's the matter, honey?
Well, I don't know. It's funny. You can think that you understand all about a person, but you never do till you meet them.
Oh. Evie, I've got to make a confession.
Yes, Johnny.
I'm, awkward with words. Except on paper, that is. I guess because I'm naturally sort of a shy guy.
Oh, I'm glad you are, Johnny. Why, I wouldn't like you if you...
Johnny, save me!
Barney, what's the matter?
Where's my little chicken? My fluffy little old house. There you are.
We drank my rubbing alcohol.
John, please, do something.
I drank last night, and I got drunk the night before.
You have the landlady up here.
I'll take care of it. Hey, pal, you're making a fool of yourself.
My pal. My old pal, Johnny McPherson. Oh, the wearing of the tartan is a pride long to behold.
Please, Johnny.
Cut it out, you fool.
Get him out of here.
Yes, you'd better.
Come on, you're leaving.
My pal. I won't go home without my pal.
Hey.
Damon and Pleasius. Or vice versa. Not going to stir a step. Not one step without Johnny Boy.
Dear.
Good old Johnny McPherson, the pride of Buffington, Connecticut.
I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm afraid you'd better.
Yeah. Come on, you.
Oh, the wearing of the tartan is a pride long to behold.
Shut up.
Johnny, will I see you tomorrow night?
Wild horses couldn't keep me away. All right, you, out.
What a pity.
I feel awful.
Such a nice boy. Drinking rubbing alcohol. I wonder what could have driven him to that.
I know.
You do? What?
It was me. He was cold, and I...
You what?
I resisted him.
Take it easy, kid.
You dirty double-crosser.
Well, you faker, emptying a bottle of rubbing alcohol in the roof and saying you drank it.
Listen, I'm all washed up with her after tonight. I know that. But she's not for you.
Okay, pal.
Keep away. If you don't, I'm going to tell her everything.
You heel.
All right, I'm a heel. But I'm still your buddy.
Ha,
and I'm going to prove it. Tomorrow morning, I'll make a phone call that'll show you I'm through with her. And I want you there when I make it.
Fine. Don't worry. I'll be there.
You listen to this now, John.
I'm listening.
You gave me your right number,
it's
huh?
It's her office. She'll answer.
Shh, man. Hello? Evie? Yeah. Look, I've got bad news. That special assignment is on again. I'm leaving in 10 minutes on a bomber. I'm disappointed, too, but you know...
Say to her, that's kismet.
That's kismet. Okay. Goodbye, Evie. She's all broken up.
Not as bad as she would be if she knew you better.
Well, she's all yours now, Johnny. Call her up. Make a date.
Yeah. She'd want to make a date with me after last night, wouldn't she?
Tell her you want to apologize. Take her to lunch and talk it over.
Yeah, that's right. I ought to apologize. Can't take her to lunch, though. My family's due in from Buffington to spend the day with me.
Well, another time, then. Hey, look, lend me a nickel, will you? I did you a favor. Now I'll do myself one with a cute little trick at Bryant 1. 0031.
Sure. Here you are.
Thanks, kid. see you later, Johnny.
Okay, well, see you later.
Hello? Hello, Evie. Yeah. Well, the brass hats have changed their minds again. The mission's off.
Yeah, I love them, too. 7 tonight, okay? Right. Pick you up at your apartments.
My land, such a dinner.
Yeah, such a gab fest. You pumped Johnny dry, Mother.
That girl you wrote about, your pen pal, Evie O'Connor, have you seen her yet?
Yes, last night.
Did you like her, Johnny?
I don't think I made a very good impression, Mom.
I'm not surprised, you know. You were your father's son.
Memory like an elephant.
Good impression. The first night your father came to see me, I was never less impressed by man, boy, or dog.
Yeah, threw me out, practically. Oh, kind as you please and sweet, but it was the bounce all right.
But the next night he was back again with a dozen roses.
He was?
And he kept coming back again and again, night after night.
I liked her father's cigars.
Until finally I realized he cared, really cared. Or he wouldn't have put up such a fight, would he?
You've got to fight, I guess, for what you want.
Well, when I realized that, I suddenly woke up to the fact that I was in love with him. But, Johnny, where are you going?
You'll be in again next week, won't you?
Yes,
well,
but...
I'll skip seeing you at the train this time, then. Okay?
On one condition.
But I'm going to put up a fight.
Are you, son?
You heard what Mom said, Dad. After all, I am my father's son.
Our first dance, Evie. You, me, your apartments, our favorite record. Maybe our last dance, too.
Johnny, don't.
It only meant we'll be going over soon.
Oh, please. Don't spoil my make-believe. I'm pretending that you're never going away. Johnny?
Hmm?
You know something?
What?
I've never been so happy. At first, I wasn't sure. But I am now about you. Am I what you imagine me?
Well, no, not exactly.
No?
You're so much more wonderful than I thought any girl could be.
Remember our first letter, Johnny? You thought we'd never meet. Oh, but I knew we would. With each letter, I knew it. Johnny, you do feel the same way about me, don't you?
You know I do, honey. So help me, I never thought I'd say this to Winnie, girl, but who the blazes is that?
Well, I can't imagine. Barney's out on a date.
Well, whoever it is, tell him to go away.
Hello, Evie.
Edgar.
I brought you these, Evie. A dozen roses to say I'm sorry about last night. Hope you'll forgive me.
Who is it, Evie?
Well, it's Edgar, Johnny.
Oh, no!
Well, I guess you'd better come in, Edgar. Well, those roses are beautiful. They're very sweet And you're just in time to hear some wonderful news.
Well. Hiya, Wolf.
You told me just this morning, you said to me...
You had a hangover this morning, Wolf, old boy. Not much wonder, either, after last night.
Johnny, shouldn't Edgar be the first to know?
Know what, honey?
That we love each other. Oh, Edgar, I'm so happy.
Wait a minute, wait.
She's right, Edgar. Oh, Wolf, old pal. We do, all right.
Listen, did you explain about the letters?
Well, no.
Tell her. Now.
Evie, I'm not what you think I am.
I don't care, darling.
Evie, listen.
Don't you see? The letters don't matter. I know the real Johnny now, and that's all I care about.
And you love him?
Oh, yes.
And I love her. It couldn't happen, but it has.
Wait a minute, will you? This is going too fast.
Evie, will you marry me tomorrow?
Oh, yes, darling. I'll marry you anytime you say.
But you don't understand.
And Edgar can be your best man. Won't that make everything perfect?
Oh, no.
Hume Cronin and Marsha Hunt will return in a moment with Act 3 of A Letter to Evie on the MGM Theater of the Air.
Thank you.
Now back to our story of the lighter side of the war, A Letter to Evie, starring Hume Cronin and Marsha Hunt on the MGM Theater of the Air. When Private McPherson began a pen pal correspondence with Evie O'Connor, he made two mistakes. He described himself as a giant of a man, which he certainly is not, and he enclosed a picture of his buddy, Edgar Wolf Lawson, saying it was his own. The result? Evie thinks Wolf is Johnny, and Johnny is Wolf. And after one of those sketchy courtships that go with a war, Evie has promised to marry Wolf. However, the best-laid plans of girls and buck privates in the U.S. Army can be shunted astray by fate in the uniform of a captain and a sergeant.
Set your clock for 3 a.m., Sergeant.
We going overseas?
Just set your clock for 3.
Yes, sir.
One moment, you could be planning a wedding. The next, find yourself seated on the deck of a ship in convoy bound for Europe.
I didn't write these sailing orders, Johnny.
Don't talk to me.
Could I help it if we shipped out the morning I was supposed to marry the girl?
I said, don't talk to me.
I think you'd be glad about it, kid.
Oh, sure.
Of course, we didn't get a chance to say goodbye or anything. Yeah, but you didn't want me to marry her, and now I have
her. I didn't want her to be hurt. Now she has been.
I didn't write those sailing orders.
You said that before. Wolf, I'm going to write to her. Tell her everything about you and me.
Oh, kid, you can't do that.
Can't I? Just watch.
You said don't hurt her. That will, Johnny. You'll be disillusioned, mad, plenty hurt.
But she's got to know.
Sure, when we can tell her. You can't explain a thing like this on paper in black and white, pal. You got to say it.
Well, maybe you're right.
But naturally, the letters begin again.
What?
The most beautiful letters you ever wrote.
You mean keep up this lie?
Johnny, she's got to get some letters. I can't write them, but you can.
But I
you
can't...
started this whole thing, remember? You answered the letter she put in that shirt pocket at camp.
I know. Don't remind me.
If you want to finish it by breaking her heart, just stop writing now. Yeah, go ahead and do that, kid.
Okay, I'll write.
The most beautiful
letters I ever wrote. I heard you. But I warn you, Wolf. When you see her again, you're not going to hurt that girl. You understand? I won't have her hurt.
I refer to Directive 76463, Paragraph A, Subsection 3, entitled Buttonholes Stitching Of. Here it is clearly stated that... Evie, you aren't getting my dictation.
What? Oh, I'm sorry, DeWitt.
That soldier fella sailed 3 months ago.
3 months, 2 days, 14 hours.
And you go around dreamy-eyed, acting as if you had a date with him coming up in 30 minutes.
It's his letters, DeWitt.
His letters?
Oh, here. Here, let me read you part of his last one.
Evie, my dear, may I remind you there is a war on? We do have contracts to fill, supplying shirts to the armed forces.
Oh, here it is. Listen. England is beautiful, but there is room in my mind for only one thing. Evie, and the incredible thought that you are mine, waiting for me. Oh, the rest is sort of personal, but... Well, do you see what I mean, DeWitt?
I do, Evie. Do you see what I mean?
Hmm? About what?
You see? Not listening. Head in the clouds. Evie, will you ever come down to earth again?
Well, I hope not, Dewey. I very much hope not.
Let me through. Whoa!
Hiya, Johnny boy.
What is this? What's going on?
Yvonne, hey.
Oui, mon chéri, mon égard.
This is a wedding, pal. Meet the wife.
Wife?
My pal, honey.
So?
Like Damon and Pythias, we are.
Wife? Wedding? But you can't do this to Evie.
The name is Yvonne.
You're too late, Johnny. C'est la guerre. Her papa gave her to me, and the sarge gave me to her.
And we've got to be moving up. Let's go!
Au revoir, Papa.
Au revoir.
Au revoir, Mama. Au revoir, Mon Cherie.
Whoopie. Whoopie, when you come back and take me to Milwaukee.
Just as soon as this terrible war is over, baby.
Listen, Wolf, what am I going to tell Evie?
Just tell her I was captured.
by the Free French.
And so, darling Evie, we're finally moving up. In this war, most of the marching songs are inside the men. I know mine is. And it's your song, Evie. Our song. Remember? It's going with me straight across France. So if I don't answer certain parts of your letters, don't worry. It's just that we're moving so fast, mail can't keep up with us. In one letter, you mentioned wanting to visit France after the war. I'd like to do that too, darling. Everything in the world looks different to me when I see it through your eyes. No letter for nearly a month now, but I'm not worried. I know it only means that there'll be a lot more of them when we finally catch up with me. All wonderful. All you, my dearest.
And in conclusion, I shall miss the annual factory picnic as much as anyone, but with a war on... Evie, my dear, you're crying.
No, I'm not.
Still no letter from Johnny?
It's been 2 months, DeWitt, 2 months. He wrote so regularly, and then all of a sudden, they just stopped. And I know something's happened to him.
Evie, there's only one solution. I thought of it last night. And this morning, on my way to the office, I decided to do something about it. Here, my dear.
What? A railroad ticket?
To Buffington, Connecticut. Johnny's home.
Oh. Oh, DeWitt, I can't.
You've got to, Evie. The train leaves tomorrow morning at 9:10, track 4, Grand Central. Oh,
but I don't even know if they know about me, that we're engaged, I mean. Well, he's never mentioned them once in his letters since he went away.
You want to find out about Johnny, don't you? What's happened to him?
Oh, yes.
His folks will know. I'll tell you what. You're a casual friend who happened to be passing through Buffington. You just dropped in to ask the latest news of Johnny.
It might work that way.
Of course it'll work. Now, go home, take the rest of the day off, pack, and tomorrow morning get on that train and find yourself some answers.
Hey, Ruth, who do you think is in the living room?
Evie O'Connor.
Evie O'Connor?
Come to ask about Johnny.
Oh, I'll bet she was crazy about him the whole time, that boy. Well, come on. We can't leave her sitting in there all alone.
Yeah, me without a tie on. Wouldn't you know it?
Miss O'Connor?
Oh, hello, Mrs. McPherson. I was looking through this snapshot album that was on the table.
Oh, there's some good pictures of Johnny in it toward the back. Sit down, my dear.
Thanks. I told Mr. McPherson, I was just passing through, and, well, Johnny and I were sort of pen pals. We corresponded a lot.
I know. He told us how much your letters meant to him.
Well, I haven't heard anything for a while. I got to wondering how he is.
We were pretty worried, too.
Yeah, he was wounded, you see.
Wounded? For a month, it was touch and go.
Oh, but he's all right now, in a hospital up in Boston.
He's here? In this country?
Due to be discharged from the hospital in 10 days. You can't keep that boy down.
I didn't know. I mean...
Oh, you'll be interested in this picture we took of him last weekend, my dear. Give me the album, please.
Well, he looks thinner. You'd know he'd been sick.
But it's our Johnny, home, safe, and sound. Do you think he's changed, Miss O'Connor? I say, do you think he's...
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
The cane is sort of a shock, isn't it?
But this can't be... Wait a minute. There was another picture in this album. I just saw it. Here.
Oh, yes. That was taken at training camp before they went overseas. Johnny and his friend, Edgar Larson.
Big, bluff fella, Larson. Looks like a lumberjack, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Johnny said the boys at camp called Mr. Larson Wolf. You knew he married a French girl.
He married?
Oh, yes. Our Johnny attended the wedding.
Oh.
Miss O'Connor, are you all right?
Oh, of course she's all right. Been a shock hearing about Johnny, but now everything's going to be fine, isn't it, my dear? There's nothing whatever to worry about now.
Easy, honey, here. Drink this hot milk.
I don't want any hot milk.
It'll help you sleep.
I don't want to sleep.
I just want to die.
Oh, that head, that heel. How could he have done such a thing, getting married when he was engaged to you?
After all the things he said to me in those beautiful letters.
Now, wait a minute. It was the other one who wrote the letters, wasn't it?
Yes.
He's the one who made a play for me, the dirty little wolf. Oh, Evie, stop crying now. They're not worth it, either of them.
All he wanted to do was humiliate me.
Who?
Johnny.
Wolf.
Both of them.
Say, which one were you in love with? The one who kissed you here that night, or the one who wrote the letters?
Well, I was with... No, I mean... Oh, I don't know.
Barney, can you get there?
I'll catch you up on the roof again.
Coming. Oh.
Hello, Evie.
It's you.
I know you don't want to see me, but I've got a message from Johnny.
You have? From Johnny?
Yes.
I'd like to hear that. Come in.
Evie, I've got bad news. Johnny's dead.
Dead?
But he died loving you. I know, because I was with him at the base hospital.
And you were with him?
To the very end, he said, Edgar, I want you to take this message to Evie. Tell her, I'm sorry we were never married, and give her this. His tag.
John P. McPherson. 50241679.
And this?
Oh, the purple heart.
He said, tell her I loved her ever since her first letter. I loved her every time I wrote to her.
Oh, Johnny.
When I finally met her, I thought that she was the most beautiful girl in the world. He meant every word of it, Evie, and most of all, he wanted you to be proud of him.
I'm beginning to be very proud of him.
You must be. Always. He was a hero, Evie. Everything you want him to be. You see, there was a patrol cut off. A combat patrol. Somebody had to get them and guide them back to our line.
And Johnny volunteered to do it.
Well, you know Johnny.
Yes, I know Johnny.
Well, that's all, I guess. I have to come and tell you.
Where are you going?
Oh, back home. Goodbye, Evie.
Wait. I can't keep this.
The Purple Heart? But he wanted you to have it. It's Johnny's.
I know. And I've just discovered that I love Johnny more than I thought I did. But I can't keep it.
Evie, listen.
Because it belongs to you, Johnny.
You know.
I know you, Johnny.
Evie. Oh, Evie.
Monty Hunt and Hume Cronin will return in just a moment.
Inasmuch as we have two stars this week, we'll have a three-way interview. If that's agreeable, Hume and Marcia.
It's agreeable, Howard, as long as I know the answer.
Are we playing questions and answers?
No, this is a drama, not a quiz program. However, I'll ask you a question, Marcia. Did you have a lot of fun playing in the Shaw play?
Oh, yes. The Devil's Disciple was great fun, and that Shavian dialogue is a delight.
Well, the MGM Theater of the Air hasn't got around to Shaw yet, but with actresses like you, you never can tell.
You never can tell? Is that the Shaw play you're going to do?
No. I had something in mind like Canada. You'd come in handy in that cast, too, Hume.
Marchbanks. Now, that's a character I'd love to play.
Yes, and you could play it to the hilt. In fact, for my money, you can play almost anything.
Thank you, Howard. As an old MGMer, I must admit that there I did play almost anything.
You've been a standby with us. I remember the postman always rings twice, the beginning of the end, the seventh cross, another many excellent performances.
Hey, can I get in on this? I'm an old MGM-er, too.
Well, Marsha, you've been on the program before, so I was giving Hume a big turn.
Oh, that's fine with me. I'm one of his real fans, too.
And I'm one of yours, Marsha.
Enough compliments. We're at the end of our rope, so to speak. Thank you, Marsha Hunt and Hume Cronin.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks to you, Howard.
A Letter to Evie, starring Hume Cronin and Marsha Hunt, adapted for radio by William Kendall Clark. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marx B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz. The supporting cast included Stotts Cotsworth and Florence Robinson. Ed Stokes speaking.